Hello and welcome. You are listening to the God and Mental Health Podcast. I am so excited to be back in front of the microphone with you this week. My name is Roslyn Renee. If you are listening for the first time, thank you so much for taking the opportunity for yourself to listen to this podcast. Hey, y'all, I'm so excited to talk with you this week. As I told you in the last episode, I am going to be doing a series really talking about some of the common misconceptions around seeking help as a believer. And I told you that I had a list of different things that I wanted to go over with you. And so we're in part two of this, but I wanted to title the message around what you believe God believes about you through this journey matters. I think that one of the common misconceptions and really kind of the ongoing question is, how do I incorporate my faith in my process? And honestly, how does God fit in this? And I say that not saying that God isn't ever present or that he is not with us. But sometimes when you're talking to a therapist, you're very practical. You're talking about your thoughts. You're talking about your relationships. Maybe you're talking about trauma or the things that you're stressed out about. And you're wondering, okay, where does God land in some of these things? And as I've worked with clients, I have seen the way that people process their journey spiritually different. There's different ways that I kind of introduce when you want to incorporate God into your sessions. A lot of the things I tell clients is it's very much so based on you. I always like to also say that your therapist doesn't have to be a believer for you to get a benefit from it. You can actually learn some very practical strategies that are not spiritually based. But I do find that clients that are Christian and use their practices within their beliefs as coping. And what I mean by that is they actually utilize, you know, community around them, prayer, devotional time, talking about God, talking with God about different things as coping, meaning that's what they go to when they're feeling overwhelmed. They find more of a benefit in that regard. So we're going to kind of get into this episode and talk a little bit about what you believe God believes about you matters. So before we get into that, let's take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
So let's get into it, because this is a topic that I have personally experienced in my own therapy journey as I was really healing through my perception of God. And I'll go on a quick little tangent with that in a minute. But then what I have come to discover and what has helped clients practically work through a lot of their trauma, a lot of times working through maybe not even necessarily deep-rooted trauma, but just relationships, their marriage, their kids and parenting, learning how to deal with parents that are not healthy for them, relationships that are not healthy for them, experiencing grief, there are so many avenues and ways that I believe that seeking help helps you. But also what I've seen from clients that are believers is that there can often be a skewed view of what God believes about them or how he's helping them through this process. And so in my own therapy journey, I've said to y'all before, I've been in therapy for a little bit of time. I actually recently stopped therapy again because I am actually really trying to find a therapist that I can really vibe with. I feel like I've gone through two now and that I've just kind of been like, I don't know. After a couple of sessions, I'm like, this isn't it. And I'm saying that's a model that sometimes it happens. And I really like to say that out loud because I had a therapist for 4.5 years. I credit a lot of my mental health journey to her because I was stuck with her for a long time. She was a Christian. A lot of her viewpoints were coming from the faith space. And I like to tell people she pushed me to God. But what we did a lot in our process together was really talking about my view of God. Because my view of God when I first started therapy in 2018 was extremely skewed. It was unhealthy. My view of him and myself was so unhealthy. I was so insecure. I felt like God was always angry with me. I felt like he honestly didn't like me because I was like, I'm not getting this right. I'm always anxious. So that must mean I'm struggling spiritually. Or I had a lot of feelings around, am I being oppressed by something? I had a lot of thoughts around, if I don't get this right, then that means I'm not called to you, God, or I'm not called to do the thing you've told me to do. I feel super pressed a lot about doing a lot to please God. And I need to do this thing right now to please him because I know that he told me this thing and it was a lot of pressure. And what we came down to understand was that I struggled a lot with people pleasing and perfectionism. And over the course of now having had gone through that in 2018, 6.5 years ago, my view of God has shifted drastically. I have come to understand that this is a lifelong walk. And I say that very grounded in that, but it took me 6 years to come to that understanding. It took a lot of seasons. It took a lot of years. And I'm saying this very openly because I think we have to really kind of talk about our expectations when it comes to therapy and also what this walk looks like. Because if we're talking about what God believes in us, a lot of us have to understand that you're coming into a therapy space with trauma that not only impacts you emotionally, it impacts you physically. We are body, mind, and spirit. And so I say this to say, like, your body is also reacting to a lot of these things. Not going into detail about how just, different disorders, but I have clients who struggle with panic attacks who are believers. I have clients who struggle with suicidal ideations as believers. I have clients who struggle with sexual intimacy with their spouse that are believers. I have clients who struggle with communication and they find that they just go off every, somebody makes them mad who are believers. I've had female clients who are domestic partners. And they partners with their boyfriend and they engage in domestic violence. They're the actual one who hits, who are believers. I have clients who are dealing with pornography, who are believers. I have clients who are dealing with having had affairs, who are believers. And so
we're coming into a space where we are a messy people and we have so much judgment towards ourselves, let alone what God believes about us. And because of that, there's so much shame and we feel so ashamed. And so I believe that as you're on this walk, you have to give yourself time, is basically what I'm saying. And I am still working through, you know, continuing to stay grounded in what I believe God believes about me, but it is taking some time. And I'll be transparent to say that there are times I struggle and it rears itself back up. My old triggers or old ways of thinking often. And I have to combat that with practical steps, which I'll talk to you about in a second. And so how do we, you know, really get into what God believes about us and why that matters? So my first point is there is safety in a multitude of counselors. Now, I actually want to bring up a point about what they call Jesus. I'm going to actually look it up. Yeah, it's in Isaiah 9:6. And this is the prophet Isaiah talking about Jesus. And it said, I really want to read from the NLT version. So, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so Isaiah 9:6 is talking about Jesus being called Wonderful Counselor. There is a scripture in Proverbs, I don't have the actual verse of it, but I'll look it up as I'm talking to you, that says there is safety in a multitude of counselors. And I like to kind of talk to my clients a lot about safety, because I think that that's a whole nother podcast I could go into. It's Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And I think when we think about safety, we don't consider that safety means wisdom. Safety can mean so many things. I probably could go into a whole podcast literally on just that one verse around there's safety in the multitude of counselors. But oftentimes, isolation can be our go-to coping mechanism due to past trauma, due to our viewpoint of the world and people being safe, and even having had grieved previous relationships. However, relationships are our portion. They are a literal primitive thing that God has crafted into creation. I was literally walking in a park earlier this week. I've been getting back into walking lately. And I saw there's like a big pond where I was, and there were out randomly when I was walking, there were a mom and her ducklings, and they were just following her. Everywhere she went in the water, they followed her, and it was a multitude of them. And I think about how God has crafted us to have companionship, whether it be from a parent, a sibling, a friend, a person, a mentor. It is something that God crafted wisdom wise into our lives. And in the multitude of creation, he himself is God in three persons. And so relationship is important. And I think sometimes we don't understand that a big part of how God sees us is bringing blessing to us through relationship. He sees that we need companion. He sees that it's important for us to even have a relationship with him. And what that looks like can often be hard for us when we have struggled with past trauma and we see isolation as our coping mechanism. We see isolation as a comfort. And so I say that to say, like, the way God sees you is he really desires for you to have companionship in whatever that looks like. The second point is we need to know that within this companionship part is that we need other viewpoints of ourselves. I was watching a TED Talk from this girl named Stacey Flowers. I'll insert the video. But she was talking a lot about you are the sum total of the five people you hang around. And she gave it from this perspective of happiness. And I want to quote one of the things she said. She said, most of us don't catch or can't catch happiness because we're not connected to the right people to inspire us to go after it and get it. And in this TED Talk, she talked about the five people. She named the cheerleader, the mentor, the coach, the friend, and the peer. And all these people played a part in the way that we have people in our lives and in different seasons of our lives are needed. And so going back to this idea of there is safety in a multitude of counselors, there is safety in a multitude of counselors because there are different people that address different things. And so I think that a lot of times for us, especially those of us that are seeking counseling, we sometimes have a viewpoint that I'm a burden to somebody. If I share something, will somebody tell my business? I'm scared that if I do share these things and I am authentic and honest, my relationship is over. And I think we have to just really ground ourselves in that being a process. Really take the expectation off yourself that you have to have the companionship or the connection part figured out overnight. I use this example a lot with clients when I'm talking about expectation of counseling. I really kind of tell them, like, hey, you're coming in here wanting to fix this overnight. Like, you're excited, you're motivated, you want to do it. But also, you're coming to me in your 20s. You're coming to me in your 30s. You have 30, 40 years of knots. You're coming to me with 20,000 knots from your life. And it may take us 6 months to untangle one. But maybe untangling one will automatically untangle 2,000 of those knots. But we have to kind of get to the root of those things, and that takes time for us to figure out. And so I think when we look at this aspect of time, we have to also give weight to the fact that God does not operate in time. And there are oftentimes in many of the stories in the Bible where time was a component in the season. My friend said this to me. She said two things to me the other day that was really, really important. But one of them was, she said, Rosalind, you know, God was in the wilderness with the children of Israel for 40 years. And even though it was based off of their choices and the things that they did, 40 years of time. And I'm not saying to y'all when I say this, that it's going to take 40 years for you to heal. But I'm also offering the perspective of you're looking so far ahead in the future of how long it's going to take, not knowing that time goes by so quick. And so what would it hurt to give yourself every other week, once a week, an opportunity to process all the previous years and allow your process to be changed spiritually, even in the process of this? And so I think when I talk about what you believe, God believes about you matters in the context of these common misconceptions, is give yourself the chance to learn and give yourself the chance to also process what's there versus avoiding, suppressing, minimizing, feeling like there's no point in me talking about my feelings because nothing's going to change. Maybe that's true, but also maybe your response to that will change. Maybe your optimism will shift. Maybe you'll actually have hope about the situation because for years you don't have hope. But rather stay in helplessness, why would you want to stay in helplessness? Why would you want to continue to be depressed? Why would you want to continue to be over anxious and beat yourself up about the fact that you're here? Blame everyone, blame God, blame the people around you, blame what you didn't get as a kid. Like, there's so many ways that we could go about this, but in order to change, we have to do something different. And so I want to talk about this more. I want to go into some of the desires of God. But before we get into that, let's go and take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Okay, point number two, and I'm going to try to take my time on this one without getting too excited. Point number two, God desires you to see him the way that he is, not the way people have made him to be or created him to be or talked about him to be. And this often sometimes needs to be healed, because not only do we have narratives about who we perceive ourselves to be, but we also have narratives about who we think God to be. I'm going to say what I have learned through this, and maybe this will help in this process. In the last year, my perception of God has shifted significantly. It has did a 180. I told y'all that I used to kind of really think God was angry with me all the time. And I oftentimes created that looked like, I remember last year, I remember going to God constantly like, God, I'm just coming to you again because I ain't spent time with you in about a week. And I would spend my time with him going down the list of things I haven't done and the list of things he's told me to do for him and for people that I just have not done. And I remember, and I don't know how to describe what happened, but I remember something switched in my mind of like, I am spending all of my time going over all of my woes of what I have not done with God. And it's making me approach him with so much shame. And what I learned over the course of last year was that I perceived myself so negatively. And so it often translated into a mirror of the way I feel like God saw me, that I could not even begin to receive his love, because anything that felt like I was receiving his love was coming from a place of me feeling like I had to do more to get it again and again and again. And it just never felt like enough. And I just had to go through the process of like, why do I do this? Where is this coming from? And it came from a lot of places. And I'll tell you, it came from, and it was highlighted to me by one of my friends. It was something that I realized. A lot of where I felt shame, I compared my walk to God. Well, compared my walk with God with a lot of people. I felt like things weren't moving fast enough, and it was my fault because I felt like I wasn't doing enough or I wasn't working hard enough. I had a very pressure cooked way of the way things needed to happen, and it needs to happen in the time that I expected. I did not have a healthy viewpoint of myself. I even recently told one of my friends, like, I was like, I think I'm really kind of also going through a whole nother identity shift because I'm a mom of two boys now. So being a mom has just like changed the way I do a lot of things. And I was just kind of telling my friend, I was like, you know, I think I'm going through some things in my identity that made me feel insecure. And I think when I brought that to the Lord, he reminded me of just how my authenticity before him mattered. And I'll go through how this has shown up for me now as a therapist when I'm helping clients through this. I'll give you a couple of metaphorical examples. But God really showed me that he desires me to see him in the way that's personal to me, and to stop putting him in the box of what I think he has to do or the way that he's showing up for somebody else in their season of their life. And it looks different for me. But it took me taking the time to do that, which I'll get very practical about how I'm doing that, but also some things that I think you could do that will be helpful for yourself and your journey of really walking to see God and really even be able to start believe in general what he believes about you. And so I think that how this has shown up practically is I began to really think about, and I talked to my clients about this, and I will tell y'all this now too. I am in the process of really leaning into a lot of the different trainings around counseling, how trauma shows up in the body, how we process trauma, because I'm paying attention to, yes, okay, there is a spiritual component to trauma, but there's also a physical aspect of it because God made us into human beings. We have bodies. And why does our bodies react? Why do our bodies react? And how does it translate into our emotions and our mental space? But also, how does it show up for us spiritually? And one of the things that I want to share more of is just those things about trauma and making them practical for you, but also how they show up for us spiritually, but that'll be later on down the line. But one of the things that God highlighted to me in a couple sessions with clients was this idea of raw materials. And essentially kind of what he was showing me was that I'm a very visual person. And so there are oftentimes when I get things or I feel like God speaks to me a lot visually. So sometimes I'll be out somewhere and I'll see something, or I might be with a client, I see a picture in my head, and I just take it personal, like, okay, I'm seeing this in my head. And the picture I saw was like what I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me. I kept hearing this word, like, raw materials. I'm like, okay, that has to glean to something. And I thought of a cake. And the cake is the finished product. But what are the raw materials that made that cake be the finished product? And so maybe you're going into a therapy office and this finished product is the now state of your relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend. And you are seeing that you don't communicate. You're seeing a pattern of such where I don't communicate when I don't know why. Ask yourself, what are the raw materials that have impacted your communication? Lack of boundaries, assuming, not stating how you feel about things, taking things when you really don't need to take it, settling, self-sabotaging. Are you becoming angry and lashing out? Are you shutting down in conversation? Are you feeling insecure? Are you trying to people please? Are you taking offense to everything? Are you scared that this person is going to leave you? Do you feel like you get rejected in every conversation? Raw materials that have come up now in this pattern. And so kind of what I want to ask you is, what are the narratives? And then changing this translation back to, in this translation back to, or using this metaphor back to God in the way that God desires to see you and how you perceive him. What are the narratives that you've heard or told yourself about God? How do they make you anxious? Or in general, how do they put pressure on you in different situations? I was having a conversation with someone and they kind of just said, well, I keep getting all these prophetic messages or keep prophetic words from people, but it just seems like nothing is coming to pass. So God just may not want that for me. And I was just like, but that puts so much doubt in you. Like when you say that to yourself, I want you to pay attention. How does that feel? Does that bring up stress for you? Does that bring up anxiety for you? Does that bring up overwhelm for you? Does that bring up fear in you? And if God is the God that we feel like he is and know him to be in the Bible, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, like these are the things that he, Everlasting Father, Mighty God. If peace is our portion, why would God want us to always feel anxious when it comes to things about him? Second thing my friend said the other day that was very interesting to me, and she said, you know, we all want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but we don't want to be sensitive. We want to kind of be strong. We want to hold it together or seem like we have it together. Or we want to just kind of not feel our feelings because what's the point? We push down things. And so I want you to think about, write these things down. What are the narratives that cause anxiety that you feel? It could be something as simple. I don't mind as a devil workshop. Like, so anytime you sit down and are quiet, the devil going to play with your mind. Like, how is that narrative helpful? How is that narrative serving you? You're going to go to hell if you do X, Y, Z. Like, how does this narrative bring up anxiety or fear? And how is it impacting the way you perceive the Lord? Does it make you perceive God as an angry person? Does it make you perceive God as a dictator? Does it make you perceive God as a father? And so as we're talking through this, I think we have to think about, how are these narratives causing anxiety for us? And so here are some examples of that. Do you feel like you struggle with perfectionism? Do you feel like God is waiting on you to get it together? Do you see other people doing a better job than you? And so it means that God is just not happy with you. Is it that you have a certain struggle that you're dealing with sin, and you're just having a hard time moving past it? Maybe you're on a wellness journey and you keep going up and down, and you know that this is something that you have to do to change your health. And it's just this constant state of beating ourselves up. But is there also spiritually narratives that you've told yourself, if you've heard, that you're just finding like, oh, that just doesn't feel right, or brings up anxiety? This is something that I'm finding to see often, that there's so much pressure that we put on ourselves that cause so much anxious and overwhelm that we don't know what to do. And so it changes the way we perceive God, but also it changes the way we perceive ourselves. So let's get into practically what you can do, what you can start to implement. I know I kind of gave you a couple of things kind of in these two perspectives of community and also perception. So if you're not already, seeking out a counselor is one of the first things I would say. But in your mental health journey, be mindful of what it is that brings up anxiety or causes you to become dysregulated. There are oftentimes, I will say though, that has to come up for it to be worked out. So I give this example to clients. It's probably not the best example, but this is what I say. I work a lot with couples. And a lot of times when I'm working with couples, they get very frustrated that they're in arguments or they're arguing. And I kind of tell them, like, hey, ish has to hit the fan. Because in order for it to hit the fan, then we know what we're working with. If nothing happens and nothing comes up and out, we don't know that it's an issue. And so while you're on your journey, if things are coming up that's causing you to feel anxious or dysregulated, I'll talk a little bit more about dysregulation in the coming episodes. Dysregulation is really a fancy word for just saying it causes you to get off like balance and you are overwhelmed, you're stressed out, you're constantly in a state of going, and your body just feels anxious. That's dysregulation. Pay attention to those things. Practically, are there certain things you need to stop listening to? The Bible talks about guarding our heart. And that also means guarding what comes into your heart through your ear gate and eye gate. Talking in very spiritual context terms right now. And so are there sermons? Maybe you need to go on a sermon detox. You listening to 5 to 7 different pastors. You're getting 5 to 7 different narratives. Maybe you need to go on a sermon detox. Maybe you listen to multiple podcasts, even this one. But I mean, if you find it to be helpful, you can listen to it. But if it's also too much for you, girl, stop listening to all the stuff. Do you need to unfollow people on social? Do you need to delete apps off your phone? Do you need to have some accountability with that? Do you need to delete TikTok or Facebook or Instagram? Do you need to block some people? Because that's also a thing. Do you, realizing that sometimes your body, nervous system, your mind needs a break because it's too much. You're taking in too much information, seeking out answers. And sometimes the answer is rest. And so information and even spiritual detoxes, do you need to stop listening to things? What practices have worked for you in the past? What things do you enjoy doing that you haven't done in a while that you want to do? So one of my favorite things that I used to do, I go in and out of using it, is journaling. And so I recently got back off social media. Just to kind of give myself a space to, I notice when social media starts to become a form of insecurity use for me, where I'm just scrolling. And so I'm replacing my social media use with journaling. So I'll journal 1 to 2 times a day at least, and just kind of take a minute to like journal out what's in my mind. So that has been a practice for me as far as journaling that I have gone in and out of over the years. And it's something that I enjoy. But what has worked for you in the past that you enjoyed? If something isn't working for you, change it. Don't feel like you have to always feel like something has to be the way that it is just because it worked before, but it doesn't work anymore. Sometimes you're trying different things. You're trying different things that work and help you. More practically, community, if you can and have people around you that you trust, lean into them. Tell them what you need. Ask them if they have the capacity. Hey, do you have the capacity to support me in this season? I'm in counseling. I'm doing the work, but sometimes I just need to vent and talk. But please, at any point, tell me if it's too much. We overthink asking for help. And that's a whole nother podcast on why don't you ask for help. Most of the time when I hear clients talk about them not asking for help, they always say, I'm perceived as the strong person or the person that people come to all the time. And I kind of say that that's an identity that you have created. That is not necessarily true. Because if you're perceiving as the strong one, that's also something that you may actually take and use as validation to yourself of like, I'm the strong one. And it's used unhealthily Because the other thing I like to say is sometimes it's a strength of ours to be strong or helpful to people. But y'all have to remember the enemy's job is to always pervert our strengths. Or anything that is not resubmitted back to God can be used as a weapon against us. And so if you're always seen as a strong one and the thought of being strong is distorted or even often used, really being strong is a cultural term, in my opinion, where like we throw it around just to kind of say we're strong and suppress our feelings. But also we say that to actually not ask for help because we're scared to. Because if we ask for help, we're going to be seen as we're weak. And that's just not even perception as that's not even our portion. We're not strong enough to handle things on our own, period. And so I say this to say, ask your community and people around you XYZ. I might do an episode. I'm actually about to write that down on just like being the strong person and talk about like the strong syndrome in a way. Lean into God. Talk to him. Be authentic about your process. I have a friend who loves to go walking. It's like her thing. And that is her time. Like I recently did an episode series on time with God. But your time does not have to look like the same all the time. It can be different. And so be open to changing up what that looks like, but lean into him. Share with God in the process, XYZ. And then again, going back to doing what works. What works? What works for you? As we kind of continue to talk about this, there is more I'm going to always continue to share and tie this back to your personal relationship with God. I'm always going to tie this back. But I really also want to, you all keep in mind that this is a personal journey and really unpacking the expectation that this is overnight. We are in a lifelong journey with God. I said this to a client the other day. I was like, you know, you're in your 30s. You're going to be figuring this out still in your 60s. Because I look at my mom, who's in her 60s, and I'm like, she's still trying to figure it out with God. I don't even know what's going on in this season. I'm just trying to understand what God is doing. And so I take that as, yeah, in my 60s, I'm still going to be trying to work through my relationship with the Lord. God is the Ancient of Days. He knows all. He's been with all. He has seen all and he has done all. And so to give myself space, I want you to know you are valuable to him. You matter to him. Do whatever you feel like you need to do to take the time to get back to that centered place with him. And if it's healing your trauma, by all means, do that. Don't feel ashamed because of what you've experienced. You're not so broken that God doesn't want to, desire to, and will go to the ends of the earth to get to you. You are not too broken to where someone can't sit in front of you and say, it's okay. You're not too broken and you're not too far off that your life is worthless, that it doesn't matter. It is valuable to have breath in your body. It is valuable to understand that you are wanted and sought after and desired by the creator of the universe. He loves you, wants you, and knows all of the things you're experiencing and dealing with. And so I say this to wrap this up, that in your journey of mental health, what God believes about you matters. It matters. But also what you believe about him matters. And I think that it's important for you to know that. So we're ending the podcast. Share this podcast with a friend. I will be talking about in the next episode or coming episodes about you not having to know everything all the time or know everything about the process of your counseling journey as you go. And I'm really going to kind of delve into what denial looks like and really be able to address that you're coming into an uncertain space, especially if you've been in counseling for 2 years, like you may be in that space where you're like, I don't know, I may need a new therapist, and having to start over. And so you're not going to have all the answers in the beginning. So I wanted to really talk about that, and we'll get into that in the next episode. However, I hope you enjoyed this one. I look forward to seeing you all soon, and we will talk next week. Bye.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By honoring your sacred vocation of education, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. At Grand Canyon University, our online bachelor's, master's, and doctoral education degree programs allow you to balance online coursework with observational and hands-on experience in the field. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.